ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿನಾಶೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿನಾಶಾತ್ ಪ್ರಣಶ್ಯತಿ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾಲ್ ಡೌನ್. ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಂಗರ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಡಿಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಅರೈಸಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಡಿಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಬಿವಿಲ್ಡರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಮರಿ. ವೆನ್ ಮೆಮರಿ ಇಸ್ ಬಿವಿಲ್ಡರ್ಡ್, ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್, ಒನ್ ಫಾಲ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಇಟ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಫುಲ್. ಸೊ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಪ್ರಭು ವಾಸ್ ಲಿಸ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ಸ್ ಲೆಕ್ಚರ್ ಹಿಯರ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ವಾಸ್ ಶೇರಿಂಗ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ಸ್. ಹಿಯರ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕವರ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ವಿ ಆಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ವಿಕ್ಟಿಮೈಸ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಾಯಾ, ಲೈಕ್ ಹೌ ವಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಡೌನ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್. ಸೊ ಡಸ್ ಎನಿಬಡಿ ನೋ ಹೌ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್? ಸೊ ವಿ ವೇರ್ ಆಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ರೈಟ್? ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆಂಟರ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ವೇರ್
ಎಂಜಾಯ್.
ಯೆಸ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆಂಟರ್, ವಿ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಎಂಜಾಯ್. ದೆನ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ದೇರ್, ರೈಟ್? ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸೆಂಟರ್, ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ನಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್, ರೈಟ್? ಬಟ್ ದ ಮೊಮೆಂಟ್ ವಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಯು ನೋ ವಿ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಸೆಂಟರ್, ದೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಪ್ಲೇ ರೂಮ್ ದೇರ್, ಸೊ ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಡೌನ್. That's why Krishna created this whole material world, so there's a place for us to think we are the center. So that's what we see here, right? Everybody thinks, you know, I am the center. Everybody, you know, in nations.
Can you elaborate what that means, being centered?
Yes, thinking about yourself, or everything is centered around my enjoyment. Basically self-centered. Everything is about me, basically. It's like, you know, if my husband is there, he's about serving me. If my kids are there, they're about serving me. It's for my pleasure.
You may think it's certain, but you don't think everybody's
pleasure.
Maybe I'm
discarding. So that in what to say, it may not be obvious in gross terms, like it's not like, you know, black and white, but certainly that's what is happening. If it's not centered around Krishna or God, then it's centered around somebody. Then naturally, it's us. Sometimes it's extended. Sometimes we may feel, right, it's not my centered, but it's my family centered. So it's more, you know, broad-minded, or, you know, we feel it's more selfless. But that's also is bodily consciousness.
I could relate to centered around family. I don't think we expect that everyone around us should.
Yeah, so that is more, much more selfish. More naturally, people are about serving the family, you know, me and my family. But family also we consider as our extensions, and we deal them in that bodily relationship, then it becomes same again. It becomes basically centered around me.
And is that what happens in the spiritual world, by when you say everybody wants to be centered?
So in spiritual world, Krishna is in the center and everybody is serving me, like, you know. Somebody is making garlands, somebody, so many activities, so many people can get engaged. Like that, they enjoy in serving Krishna. But suddenly we become envious. We have that envy, so we think, you know, why everybody has to serve Krishna? I want to be served.
By those others.
Exactly. Or somebody, you know, I want to take a position of Krishna, basically. I want to be there and let everybody serve me. The moment we think like that, then we cannot stay there anymore. So then we start coming down. Actually, it said Krishna comes behind us and stops us so many times. You don't go there, you're not going to be happy. Then, no, I want to try it out. I want to try being the Lord and see how it works.
But then you come to the most lowest form, right? But then that's when you kind of get promoted, and then finally you get the human life, which is like an opportunity to bring you back to the God. Is it?
I heard that actually first time when we come as Brahma. No, the top, most intelligent human being.
But still you fall.
Yeah, from then again we fall.
How is it possible everyone can become a Brahma? Like?
There's so many universes.
But you know, you say so many universes, every universe has million or trillion, yeah. And then all million trillion has to be Brahma first. It's like infinite loop, right?
Yes, there are so many. I mean,
you see, like every universe has maybe 1 billion, and everyone has to be
within your outside of our number state. Yeah.
Somehow it works, I don't know. That's what I heard. Okay. So what was
Yeah. So far we were Brahma.
Self-centered, right? So mostly it's, but that is also material. Basically, it's centered around me or my family, or more broadly, people say, you know, my community, or, you know, my state, no, Telangana, all this fight, right? Or they say, you know, my nation. They think this is more selfless. I'm fighting my for my country. But the identification is still bodily identification, so it's still material. Okay. So here Prabhupada talks that this verse covers how we became victimized by Maya. So we became angry on Krishna, essentially envy or angry on Krishna. Then we lost our memory that, you know, we are spirit souls, we are supposed to serve Krishna. Then we, because we have to have some other identity, Maya, when we come down here, Maya covers us. So there are two potencies of Maya. One is called covering potency, one other one is called bewildering potency. So by covering potency, she covers us with, you know, this identification of the body. And okay, now you identify yourself with body, you know, with your family members, all those things. And bewildering potency, she agitates, like, you know, by showing so many allurements, she tries to keep us away from Krishna, because that's what we want. Right? That's what we want.
So Maya is, I'm just trying to understand it. So this, we have Prakriti.
Actually,
where, what is this? So Maya is like, what is that?
So Maya is, Maya Devi is a personification of material energy.
Okay.
So material energy is the, it's what is called.
The form of Krishna only, right?
Yes, it's the expansion of Krishna only.
Okay.
So actually it's she is expansion of Radharani. So Radharani is a yoga Maya. Or internal potency, and Durga Devi is personification of Mahamaya or material nature. She's, Durga Devi is in charge of material nature. Basically, she is a gatekeeper. Anybody who is not qualified to enter spiritual world, she prevents them by creating so many things so that they can keep themselves busy staying here. That is actually her, it's called thankless task. She is actually a devotee of Krishna. She asks Krishna, you know, Krishna, everybody is serving you and I also want to serve you, and my job is to actually prevent people from serving you. No, it's so difficult for me to do. So that's her job. And so now, just to know how great, or rather how powerful Maya is. Does anybody know which verse in Bhagavad Gita Krishna covers that? How powerful Maya is? Probably you know.
No.
So Devi 7.14. So Krishna talks about his energy, right? So he says, Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mama Evaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. This divine energy of mine, so Krishna says, this is my energy only, consisting of three modes of material nature, is very difficult to, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So in the first phrase, Krishna says, it's very difficult. This material nature is my energy. So imagine, Krishna's energy means it's insurmountable. It's very difficult to overcome. But what is the way to overcome? The solution is, if you serve the master, he can order his servant, Maya Devi, to not bother the devotee. That's how it works. So if we start serving Krishna, then we will not be bewildered by Maya Devi.
So you mentioned that she is an expansion.
Radharani. Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, Radharani is extension of Krishna.
So why is she trying to move us away from Krishna?
So
by alluring, as you mentioned.
Yeah. So that's what we want, right? See, that's the whole thing is Krishna. Krishna is such a loving master. He wants to serve us the way we want. So because we want to become the Lord, he had to create the whole material world just for us to have a place to stay, and, you know, so many things, right? So but at the same time, you know, because we want to enjoy like this, she has to create the facility like that. If you come here and think, you always think that, you know, I'm supposed to be there in spiritual world serving Krishna, we cannot really enjoy.
So she is an instrument of creating that.
Yes, she's
illusion.
Exactly. Yes, until the point where we come to the senses and say, I'm done with this. Everybody in our journey, we come to that point. Then she starts unfolding, saying, you know, now she will act in a way to bring us closer to Krishna. So now she acts like Radharani or Yogamaya. the same potency, basically as we engage this material nature in Krishna service, the same potency will bring us closer to Krishna. So Maya Devi brings us away from Krishna. Yoga Maya brings us closer to Krishna. See, for example, let's say buying a house or something, right? I may buy a big house somewhere, nowhere related to temple or whatever, but the whole purpose is about enjoyment, or, you know, I'll have parties, or I'll have, you know, big screen TV and something, all these things, right? So I'm just going, and maybe, you know, in Bothell, houses are cheap. So I may want to buy there. Actually, one of our friends moved like that. I felt so pain for that, because I know they are going to go far away from Krishna. So then we did that, okay. But then what happened? I went far away from Krishna, right? But rather, you know, if I settle with something small, but still maybe something closer to Krishna, it's closer house to temple or something like that, then that's it. Maybe it's all about material energy only, you know, it's same house made of bricks and, or not bricks here, but wood and all those things. But still same thing is now acting as, now by coming closer to temple, I may go more often to Krishna, come to temple, right? So I am coming more closer to Krishna. So the same energy is now bringing us closer to Krishna. So it's all about our intention, or, you know, our consciousness. So that's so we covered Maya Devi, and so that's why in another sense we should not take Maya as very light. Actually, Prabhupada told one of his devotees, you know, my biggest concern is that you think of Maya very lightly. But actually, the devotees are supposed to, you know, always be conscious that, you know, I may get allured, you know, I should be very careful. That's why I always stay in association of devotees. Thinking that, you know, sometimes, as I mentioned one example, right, one devotee mentioned, you know, Prabhupada, there is a bar here, and a lot of people are there drinking everything, I want to go, you know, distribute your books. Like that. Prabhupada said, if you can come back in the night, then you go. So it's like that. We may sometimes think, you know, I'm more powerful than Maya, you know, I'm chanting so nicely, or I have so much devotion, all those things. And we may step out, risk thinking Maya to be very light. But it's very risky. Yeah, so but if you stay.
So what I'm saying is, so we have these sun senses. So we have like one task of controlling our senses. But then on top of that also we need to know that there is an external attraction over there which senses react to. So that we have to be careful about that.
Yes, exactly. So as much as possible, using our intelligence, we should avoid the situations. Like, for example, I know that, you know, I have been habituated to watch TV, right? So much. But still, you know, that maybe that taste is still there while I'm trying to engage, right? So exactly. So if I purposefully put myself in a situation, or, you know, in office they take ourselves to movies, right? Everybody in Microsoft, they sponsor movies and all. And colleagues, everybody, you know, they, especially if you go to work, they say, you know, how can you not go, come, they pull. So I'll try maybe, you know, working from home that day. Because I know once they do, you know, I have to figure out what excuse I should give, all those things, right? And I know I may be weak, right? So all those things. So knowing
just
that,
stay
away. So we can do that. Using our intelligence, we can do that. Because we knowing our temptations, all those things, knowing how powerful Maya is, we consciously try to engage ourselves in Krishna service. And main important thing is association. So if we always stay in association with devotees, then there will be no room for us to engage otherwise. See, especially, for example, let's say if you go to Crater Lake and all, if you go with, let's say, our office colleagues or whatever, we'll end up engaging in sense gratification. But these devotees, they went with devotees. What will happen? They did Mangalarti, they did Kirtans, everything there. So, you know, that's what happens. So that increases our devotion rather than taking us away from Krishna. So that's the point actually is going to come here, how everything can be used in Krishna service. Let's read this purport. So before we cover that, I wanted to...
So basically we don't have to deprive ourselves
exactly
the way we conduct things.
Exactly.
You're not stopping us from going out, like,
yes,
for example,
exactly,
like, but we are going in different mode.
Exactly. So that's what is going to come. It's coming in the context. There are two types of renunciation. This I want everybody to understand very clearly. because it's very important to understand this. We covered this in bits and pieces, but we never gave terms, definitions. But this purport is going to cover them. There are two types of renunciation. One is called, renunciation is called Vairagya in Sanskrit. One is called Phalgu Vairagya, other one is called Yukta Vairagya. Okay, so in the purport, Prabhupada is going to cover both of them. We will cover the definitions and examples so that we understand both of them. So we can start reading the purport.
We covered this in first chapter only.
Yeah, we covered all these concepts. We covered, but now it's going to come in like a short.
Okay. By development of Krishna consciousness, one can know that everything has its use in the service of the Lord. Those who are without knowledge of Krishna consciousness artificially try to avoid material objects, and as a result, although they desired liberation from material bondage, they do not attain to the perfect stage of renunciation. Their so-called renunciation is called Phalgu, or less important. On the other hand, a person in Krishna consciousness knows how to use everything in the service of Lord. Therefore, he does not become a victim of material consciousness.
Okay, we can pause there, Prabhupada. So now we covered both the definitions. So let's just elaborate on that. So first is, what is Phalgu Vairagya, or you know, Phalgu Vairagya is a person trying to avoid material objects with a desire to basically avoiding things. That is also renunciation, right? Renunciation means, in general sense, we know it means to somehow avoid things, right? So just artificially trying to avoid things is called Phalgu Vairagya. Now let's say, you know, I don't want to eat this, but without any strength otherwise, on our own, let's say the yoga we discussed last time, right? On our own, trying to avoid things.
So like fasting, you know, someone does fasting.
Exactly.
That is
yeah, without centered around Krishna, without devotion, without connecting to Krishna, we do it. Then what happens, suddenly maybe that fasting day some party happens, you may give up, right? Like that's what Prabhupada is telling, that they don't attain the high perfect stage of renunciation. That's why this renunciation is called less important. Phalgu means less important. And also there is a chance of always falling down, giving to temptations, like how we discussed about Vishwamitra and all those things, right? So there is chance of even falling down. But whereas, what is the other type of renunciation? Other type of renunciation is Yukta Vairagya. Yukta means to connect. So connect what? How to use everything in service of the Lord. So that is real renunciation. So basically we don't avoid things, we use the things in service of Krishna, then that is proper renunciation. So it's not that we give up things, like, you know, devotees also marry, devotees also have kids, children. You know, what, then somebody may say, you know, why, when, of course, everybody knows what process has to be followed to have kids, right? So, you know, why, what is the purpose? Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, like, if I can make my children pure devotees of the Lord, I will have 1,000 times 6, or I mean, some number of times. So what is the motive? That's what is the difference. The motive is to use everything in Krishna service, then that becomes purifying rather than entangling. The same act, if it's the motive is to have children in order to, you know, train them up in Krishna consciousness or to give them to Lord Chaitanya's movement, then that the whole whatever has to be done in order to do this is actually purifying the desire. Everybody has, we are completely entangled by the desire, right? But that same desire used in service of Krishna purifies us. We'll actually now completely, get purified of that desire. Actually, Krishna himself says, Kamosmi. He says, I am the sex which is used in producing Krishna conscious children. So that's the whole thing. Initially, I remember you were asking, right? You know, why are we avoiding things? Why are we restraining? So that's not the whole thing is about how to use everything in Krishna service. But the only thing is, we need to know how to use that. Initially, we may not know. Gradually, we will know. You know, it will become so broad that sometimes we may feel, you know, how is this possible? Like, I remember one incident. Indradimna Maharaj, like he came, like one of the Prabhupada's disciples, sannyasis. So the sannyasis, they visit every place, and you know, they give their association, they share, they share their kirtans and lectures, and they get, we get a lot of strength by listening to them, you know, how they have renounced their lives and still they are so happy and blissful. They are very good examples elaborating that. So they visit different places. Sannyasis are not supposed to stay any place more than 3 days actually. So they visit different places. So once, and they stay in Grihastha's house to give them mercy, all those things. So in that house they had children. So while going back from that place, Maharaj was going back in the, to the flight actually, to take, catch the flight, and he's very particular, you know, he wants to be, knowing the traffic, everything, he wants to be on time so he doesn't miss the flight, and otherwise it's a big hassle. So on the way he was going, but suddenly he said, okay, let's take a detour, let's go to this football match. Then everybody was shocked in the car. It's like, you know, what is this sannyasi, what is he connected with football match, what is he supposed to do? We went to that football match, and then in the break, the kid came, and then Maharaj spoke to him, and then that's all, he left the flight. Then somebody didn't understand, you know, why he has to do all this, he took his time off to do this. Then he said, that's what this boy can relate to. This boy, he likes football match, you know, that's how I can relate to this boy. No, basically that's how he's showing his love to that boy. He nothing to do for himself, like, you know, not like, you know, I want to see the football match or whatever, but because he wanted to give that love to that kid, because once he does that, the kid will remember forever, right? Now so much love, so he, forever he will be attracted to Krishna. Now he will be attracted to Maharaj. Devotees means he is attracted to Krishna, attached to Krishna. So that's the whole point.
So during the match he was giving sort of a sermon to that child.
His mood was to give love to the child, somehow or the other, make that connection for the child, so that, you know, it can pull him off in the path of devotion.
Okay, later, but here he was trying to build a connection.
Exactly, yes. So we relate to the people from where they are. Like, for example, we may know some verses, everything. We don't go to a grandma or mother and start quoting verses, and, you know, they may know only us, like a daughter or daughter-in-law or whatever, right? So we just be that such a nice person. So somehow they get attached to us. And by being attached to us, we are not trying to, you know, make them serve us. But somehow we want to bring them to Krishna. So that's the whole motive. Yeah. Actually, it said that attachment to devotees is the perfection of attachment.
But somewhere we get positive attachment and negative attachment, both we should not have, right?
Attachment and aversion.
I just remember that.
Yeah, attachment and aversion. But in a material sense, we should not have.
Okay.
But everything can be used in Krishna service. Yeah.
But I think it's sort of being deceitful to, let's say I have friends who kind of have drink parties and stuff, and I want to bring them into Krishna consciousness. So I'm not going to have a wine party at my house and come everybody and taste wine, so you can just and then slowly move. You know? Should I be doing that? Like,
no.
That's not stop the party.
Then slowly I can tell them, hey, not good to drink wine.
That's how
you will go. What a way.
That's
you
not Maya.
From that bar.
So we can say.
That's a football match example, right? I mean,
no.
Football match is not as bad as wine, but.
Before that, Mataji said, if you can go in that route,
If I get to the football match, I'm actually pulled to the football match. So that's why depends on the advancement of the person. Appeal to some other pastime of theirs or some other liking, rather than choosing to have a wine party or a drink.
Yeah,
some other thing that they like.
That's why, you know, we have to use our intelligence also.
Positive.
We have to. See, they just said somebody is drowning, right? Somebody is drowning. You know what's the best way to save them? You should never let them hold you from front.
Yeah.
Or rather, you should always catch them behind. Otherwise, they'll pull you down.
Actually, they use the strategy first. They will let him a little more unconscious.
Yes.
Yeah, you should hold them versus they holding you.
Yeah, basically, you should hold them like this. Their head like this and pull them like this. Otherwise, they'll pull you down.
Yeah.
So that's the strategy in saving people. So first, if you want to save them, we need to make sure we are afloat.
We need to be that qualified in order to influence someone.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, yes.
Where we are now, we are just partisans.
Otherwise, they will pull you.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, so that's why, you know, it depends on the advancement also. No, we should not judge ourselves, thinking, you know, we are so great or whatever. And especially for that matter, we should check our with the neighbor. And then other devotee, you know, do you think, you know, I can do this? Well, nicely tell, you know, where we are. So devotees are very, you know, humble in that way. They will make sure we are back on ground. So, so that's so two types of, so the yukta vairagya is connecting. Yukta means connection, right? So connecting everything to Krishna, that is real renunciation. So as I mentioned earlier, right, initial days of Krishna consciousness, I was asking, you know, oh, should I buy laptop or should I buy computer or whatever. So the question or the essence, the thing to decide is, what is it going to be used for? It's going to be used for service of Krishna, then go spend the money, buy whatever. Within that also, of course, there are grades, as you mentioned, right? Oh, you can buy the most expensive one versus this one.
Or something.
Yeah, something in the middle or whatever. So that's all range again. But otherwise, but it's not that, okay, I should not go to, you know, some shop, Circuit City, or some, I should not go at all. I should not even see there. It's not at all like that. What is the motive? We can also go, you know, shop around, buy clothes and everything. It's not that devotees cannot go. But what's the purpose? Purpose is so that I can be in better use in Krishna service. Okay, now Prabhupada talks about some more very nice examples. So let's discuss that. For example,
for an impersonalist, the Lord or the Absolute, being impersonal, cannot eat. Whereas impersonalist tries to avoid food eatables. A devotee knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and that he eats all that is offered to him in devotion. So after all, after offering good eatables to the Lord, the devotee takes the remains called prasadam. Thus everything becomes spiritualized and there is no danger of a downfall. The devotee takes prasadam in Krishna consciousness, whereas non-devotee rejects it as a
material. We can pause there a little bit. So in this example, Prabhupada is covering very clearly, right? How does a Falgu Vairagya person trying to do, what does he do with eatables? He just avoids them, right? But then suddenly if he goes to a different place where he sees things, then he gets tempted again, because there is no strength. He's on his own. But whereas, what does the devotee do?
Offers to God.
Because he knows Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Krishna eats everything whichever is offered in devotion. So he offers everything. We make nice dishes. Whatever we want to eat, we make for Krishna.
And that's again a fall down, right? If you are like, you are making a dish because I like this one, I will make this one so that I can enjoy.
Yeah, at least we start from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, actually,
we support. Everywhere, right? Like,
yeah.
There is
this.
Some sense gratification,
yes,
in that, because
I think
something.
I think 100%.
Yeah, but that is spiritual sense gratification. That's very much better than, that's purifying.
So gradually.
Eventually. Eventually, we should come to the point where we want to inquire, you know, what does Krishna want? What does Krishna like? Like, you know, milk sweets especially likes, or, you know, something made of milk, right? So we make, even though we may not like milk, let's say, you know, some pure devotees, they put all the effort to learn how to make, offer, and just give to others if they don't eat.
So what Krishna like?
Is it documented?
Just
what Krishna likes?
It should be somewhere. Still need to inquire.
Butter, it's stolen. No, is it written somewhere? That,
yeah, actually there is one song by Bhaktivinod Thakur where he says, during lunchtime they sing this song actually, where he tells about what all things Krishna is eating with his friends. No, I don't remember the details, but he was telling like saag, all this, many lot of
only native plants is what, yeah, native vegetables and all what they use, and like in Lord Jagannath,
yeah,
in Puri there is like Chappan Bhog, that is 56 items is what's usually served to him, right? So that's, yeah, so it's pretty gala stuff.
You can always have the Chappan Bhog.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
I mean, it's a feast for everybody.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's how devotee enjoys life, right? And the, what's the key here? Because
so
this
quickly, so in this case, the impersonalist is like, is that like all non-devotees are considered as impersonal? Because impersonalists are the ones who say that absolute is the Brahman,
Brahman.
Mm.
Which is more like
yes,
effulgence and
yes,
ways, and also there's no person or human
yes,
being. That's why food is not really required.
Yes.
What you really need is abstinence from everything, right? But you said that the
non-devotees are not even as better, as good as impersonalists.
Okay.
Impersonalists are still in some path, right, towards absolute.
Hmm.
But non-devotees are like, or rather, you know, what I'm saying is, basically people who just want to enjoy, we should not call them non-devotees. Yeah. But basically, generally materialists, we can say materialists. Materialists,
whose existence is only for,
self,
their own enjoyment.
Yeah, their own enjoyment. They're not even trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Right? So they are, these people, impersonalists are a little bit more better in that way. So so how does this eating prasadam protects the devotee? Prabhupada covers that key essence there. Let's discuss. What happens?
It controls the tongue.
No, here, like what happens? Because it becomes spiritualized. So it doesn't, it doesn't act materially. So if something acts materially, it takes us away from Krishna. If something acts spiritually, it brings us closer to Krishna. By eating, by offering something to Krishna and eating as prasadam, it's spiritualized. So it actually purifies us and brings us closer to Krishna, nourishes us and brings us closer to Krishna. The same food we are eating, previously it used to bind us. Previously, whenever we used to see the same thing, we get pulled and eat. Now, it's the same thing, it actually is purifying us and it's giving us energy, and at the same time, we are enjoying. So that's the point is going to come next actually.
Okay.
The impersonalist therefore cannot
enjoy life due to his artificial renunciation, and for this reason a slight agitation of the mind pulls him down again into the pool of material existence. It is said that such a soul, even though rising up to the point of liberation, falls down again due to his not having support in devotional service.
Okay. So, the key here is enjoy life. See, I was just remembering how much initially it may feel as if, you know, what devotees, you know, they are just missing out. They don't go to movies, they don't, you know, go to parks, or they don't go to this, they don't go there. What is this life? No, nobody can relate, like especially outside people, they cannot relate. But actually, we are the real enjoyers.
Question: why practice abstinence?
Exactly,
but it's not
like that. But we are the we know how to enjoy life really, right? If you think about it, it's actually real selfishness, because it's serving the self, the soul, right? It's real selfishness. But otherwise, we are serving the body and we are thinking, you know, we are happy, happy. It's like, you know, painting the, feeding the cage. Prabhupada talks about the cage example, right? Bird is in the cage. There is a golden cage. We keep polishing the cage all the time, but we don't serve the food to the bird. Then the bird will die. So same thing. We are thinking, we are enjoying, and we are trying to do so many things for my body and, you know, all these things. But really, we are not getting satisfied at the end of the day. But whereas, doing the same thing in service to Krishna, we are enjoying now and we'll enjoy later by going to spiritual world. I was telling, right, one example how somebody was asking Srila Prabhupada, like what if Prabhupada, like, okay, there is singing, chanting, dancing, everything. What if at the moment of death you figure out there is no Krishna? Basically you lost everything. Then Prabhupada said, you know, what am I missing? Now also I'm enjoying so much. If end of the life, if I know there is no Krishna, it's okay. But what are you going to do? Now you are suffering. You're not at all happy, not satisfied, everything. And at the moment of death, you figure out actually there is Krishna and you lost everything. Right? So which is better? So he was trying to, you know, relate to him in the terms he is asking. So the thing is, if we don't have faith, right, you know, really whether Krishna is supreme, whether, you know, really should I follow this, we keep asking this question sometimes, right? But we should ask ourselves, are we really getting satisfied? Whatever we are doing, is from whatever we are, somehow or the other we came, right? There is some reason. Either we are not satisfied or we are distressed, like four kinds of people, right? Something or the other, we are so fed up with life, somehow we came. And somehow we are starting to get some satisfaction, right? So why don't we invest in this? Actually, Prabhupada said, you know, so many lives you have given to Maya, many, many lifetimes. Just one life give to Krishna. Just one life. One life give to Krishna and see what happens. So we try to, you know, when we think about solutions, right? We think about so many things. Okay, let me try this, let me try this, let me try this. So let's try this. Try this fully, with full heart. And see the results for ourselves. So then, because this artificial renunciation, that person, mind again pulls down, right? He goes into the material existence, whereas the soul, the Yukta Vairagya person is protected because he's spiritualized. He's not acting material. Okay, so any more questions or comments in this topic?
One question, so about some sort of renunciation only, like when you're giving up not eating non-vegetarian food or onion and garlic and all. So for a lot of people it would be rational to give up non-vegetarian because it brings pain to a living being, right? But the onion garlic thing, right, that is not, it doesn't, you can't relate or connect to that very quickly, because I'm, so say for instance I would be skeptical, I still eat all of that, and to me it would be like, if it exists as a vegetable, why would it even exist if it was not good, if it was not for consumption? Is it part of Maya that takes you away?
So
I mean, it's a good vegetable, it has a lot of benefits, right?
Yeah.
So why should I deprive myself?
I think same for the wine, right?
Wine is
good advantage. You should drink wine.
Yeah, and I drink wine.
I'm not denying. I know, because there are good facts.
There's some benefits.
Like a heart benefit, ear benefit. So
you can offer wine and still
no. No, but that's not supposed to be good.
Okay.
But there are. I mean, wine is just you can say a side example. But onion and garlic. I mean, it's very commonly used in preparation of food. It's hard to justify that just because it creates, or it's sharp, right? It creates sharpness in the nature to some extent.
So
tamas, as they say.
Yes.
Tamasi food.
It's
right?
The same family, actually.
Tamasi food, so that's why you shouldn't. So that kind of, I mean, a lot of people I find are mild mannered, very good, polite, but they consume onion and garlic.
Okay. So can I share something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, so first of all, main primary reason is onion, garlic, they, as you said, tamasic, right? So, it actually creates, it agitates the passion, especially, you know, that's sex pleasure, that agitates more. So, that's, as devotees, we are trying to, you know, not engage our senses in, you know, sense gratification. We are trying to, you know, subdue them or engage them in Krishna service. So, it doesn't help so much. Same thing, you know. If I'm really devoted to Krishna, I want to do everything possible to help me in my devotion to Krishna. It's all about that, right? Let's say, in that black and white state, okay, I'm really, as we said, right, I'm wholeheartedly, I want to invest my life in Krishna service, and I know, at least theoretically, somebody is saying, let's say, maybe I don't trust them, somebody is saying that, you know, by eating onion garlic, it agitates your senses and it's going to take you down. If possible, Prabhu, can, if you want, you can avoid. Then I will try to, you know, pray and get the strength to do it, if I want to do it. Okay, that's at that level. But actually, recently we encountered an article where Srila Prabhupada was telling a story. I don't know whether, maybe, you know, I will ask Prabhu to share that email with all of you group. Prabhupada was telling a story how onion garlic are formed from ankle of a cow. Ankle of a cow was buried in some story, I don't remember exactly, was buried, and it came, anybody read that?
Prabhu told last.
Oh, you told that? Okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know where it
is. Yeah, exactly. So we'll share that email.
Is it in the scriptures?
Prabhupada said means it should be somewhere really authentic. It's not like he made
because
up.
Because onion garlic is not offered in any of the temples.
Exactly.
Or any food,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's not just
yes,
in
yes.
any temple.
Yes. Even like traditional Brahmins, right? They never use.
Yeah.
They don't eat
onion.
Yeah.
As per like their tradition.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is no. From the story we understood that it's made of actually it's part. It's not less than non-vegetarian. It's part of a ankle of a cow. So that's why it has many layers, the onion.
Skin.
Yeah, skin, like skin.
Skin.
And like garlic is like shape of a hoof. It's like that. Because of that, it's that buried, it became like that. I can share that email later. So that made me, I was initially convinced with this argument. That's enough for me to, just give up. But after seeing this, I was like, oh my God, this is so dangerous.
But the fact is that if stuff is not offered to the God, you cannot eat it. Right?
Exactly.
I think that's what...
That's also there.
So my question
is why shouldn't
we
offer?
Why is it not offered? The onion and
yeah.
Onion.
So we
one of this reasoning or stories, I think it emerges from Jainism, is anything that grows below the earth, they don't. But
potatoes
are
all
exactly, that's what I was citing.
That's
that
potatoes
grow, ginger grows, right? There are lots of veggies that grow below the earth, but why only onion and garlic?
Yeah, this is what I know about this.
Yeah, but in Jainism, we don't eat onion, garlic,
yeah, anything below the
coriander
yeah.
or any green vegetables.
Coriander
we don't eat. The green, whatever the green.
Oh, green coriander is.
Yeah,
but not
the
dhaniya.
Not dhaniya, the green
the
vegetables.
One.
We don't eat. At least for the 4 months during our pollution part, we don't eat anything
okay.
like that. Or we try to avoid that part as much as possible.
Mm. So what else? So any more comments online? Tarifisha, anybody wants to share something? Or okay. So we'll, I don't know what's the time. 8:20. So we can stop here, right? Yeah.